Happy now to chat with Anthony Wetrato of the Sporting News, I believe in L.A. Anthony, how are you doing this afternoon?
Good, good. Yes, I am here.
All right. Been covering the National League West, in particular the Dodgers, and to say the least, it's been interesting year, maybe 2 years. It seems like two different seasons for the Dodgers.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it feels like, you know, the way the story has unfolded for them has been really, really interesting. I mean, they went, you know, from the beginning of last year where the fan base was just basically staying away out of spite for Frank McCourt. And then, you know, that day in May when they had the press conference and unrolled the new ownership group and everything became official, and then all of a sudden the money started pouring into the roster. And then you go into this year and the team is disappointing and a ton of injuries and they can't get their whole team on the field and they sink into last place. And then all of a sudden everybody gets healthy and they start, I mean, just steamrolling people. Very interesting last 18, 20 months here in L.A.
Yeah, on and off the field, no doubt about it. Yasiel Puig, what is he like? How do the veterans react to him?
The veterans like him. You know, he plays with a lot of brashness and the bravado that, you know, you see on TV. The veterans don't mind it because, you know, he plays hard and none of his mistakes are for a lack of hustle or anything like that. You know, all his mistakes are mistakes of aggressiveness, the ones that he makes on the field. And then, you know what, like the posing and the bat flips and things like that. Whenever you break onto the scene like this, typically there's going to be something that people don't like, and Yasiel Puig is giving people, you know, that thing to hate, that thing to focus on. But you know what? I mean, he is who he is, and players are players, and when you produce, you know what, you get away with things like that, and that's what he's doing right now.
Yeah, you know, I talked to Andrew Baggerly of Comcast Sportsnet Bay Area last hour. One of the things he mentioned is that, you know, Puig, like other Cuban players, doesn't have that period in the minor leagues to get used to the way things are done in American baseball and with this culture. There's no, you know, period to really understand the lay of the land. And so there's going to be a bit of a culture clash now and then. And I think that's what we're seeing with Puig.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't call it a culture clash. I mean, you have American players who do the same things. I mean, Bryce Harper went through this.
Oh,
also,
yeah.
You know,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
So I don't think it's a cultural thing. I think it's just an attitude thing. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. You know what? This is still a game. And all the unwritten rules and everybody who cries about, oh, you know what you're not supposed to do. You know, the same thing with Jose Fernandez the other day.
Yeah.
When he hit the home run against the Braves. You know what? If you don't want a guy to do that, then don't serve up a cookie that he can hit out of one of the biggest parks in the major leagues.
Yes. Yeah, to a pitcher. Absolutely. And you know, Fernandez got a little chirpy when Evan Gattis hit his home run. And, you know, players are so sensitive. It's always amazing to me. I mean, every little thing they look for. So, but I have to say, a bat flip on a double, that might cross a line or two.
No, I mean, why? I mean, if you can do it on a home run, why can't you do it on a double? You know what I mean?
I don't know. It just seems like what I know, I understand. It's those unwritten rules again.
Now we're being hypersensitive again. See,
I bat flip on a home run. I think that's theater. But when you do it on a double, it's like you're showing off for something that you know you thought was going to happen and it didn't happen. It makes you look foolish.
Well, I don't think he thought. Look, I don't think you guys see enough of Yasiel Puig. This guy bat flips walks. I'm serious.
Well, yeah, no, I've seen that. You're right.
So I don't think it was a thing where he got embarrassed because he thought the ball was going out and it didn't. I think he knew it was going to land.
So he was showing off on a double. I mean, okay.
Well, I mean, it was a big hit.
It was.
I mean, look, if you can do it on a home run, I don't see why you couldn't do it on another any kind of big hit. I mean, I'm not. I say, look, the game is played for the fans. Fans love these things or they hate them. And when you have that kind of polarizing figure, then that means something is going right because he's going to be talked about either lovingly or he's going to be bashed. Either way, he's being talked about. And you know what? This is still a game. This isn't, you know, he's not the president of the United States, you know, showing up another leader of a country. It's a baseball game.
Which would be awesome, by the way.
just flip the phone out of his hand when he's done talking.
Drop the mic or whatever. Yeah, that'd be good stuff. Good for international relations. Well, listen,
Barry Bonds bat flipped all the time.
Yeah,
And I say that because I know you guys are based out of there. And Giants fans had no problem with it when he was doing it in their uniform.
Well, I'll tell you this much, and Barry Bonds was great theater. This is great theater. What happened in July when
Absolutely.
They were kind of chirping at it, I just enjoyed the theater. There's no doubt about it, and I agree. If you want to keep him from flipping the bat, make sure he doesn't get a hit if you can. But he's obviously a very skilled player. I think he's going to have a long career. I think that there are some things you talk about fundamentally that he has to tighten up. And I think there, you know, the personality he shows, it absolutely adds fun to the game. But and I know players are sensitive, but there are certain things that I've seen him do that you just don't see other players do. And it's like, oh, okay, all right, you want to do that? All right, fine. You know, it comes back to roost.
You know what? Yeah, we saw the same stuff with Bryce Harper. He had been doing it for so long. I think it just became the norm, and that was part of his game. But you know what? Just because nobody else does it doesn't mean that it's necessarily wrong. You know,
it depends on what it is. If you crow hop all around the bases, that may be wrong.
Well, Sammy Sosa was America's teddy bear for, you know, two or three seasons, and every time he hit a bomb, he gave that little hop, and sometimes those balls didn't go out, but we didn't blast him the way we blast Puig.
Actually, so I did one time when he did that and he had a double, and when he thought it was a home run.
but you know what I'm saying. You see the difference in sort of just how we take things and how we swallow them, I think. And with Yasiel Puig, it's because, well, he didn't pay his dues and he didn't play enough in the minors and you know, all this kind of stuff. And with Sammy Sosa, we didn't do that. So I just think it's something new, and, you know, obviously it's everybody's personal taste, but you know what? The game needs this. You know what it does? It brings in younger fans. You know what? They do it in the NFL after touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
They do it in the NBA after dunks. And you know what? Young people are attracted to those sports. Baseball needs something like this. It needs Bryce Harper. It needs Mike Trout. It needs these kinds of players to make names for themselves.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It definitely is an infusion of energy, and it is an exciting style of play. And, you know, most of all, they have to be good. And, you know, if they have that base
right now, I would be in the same boat with you, and I would be driving it if he was hitting 140 and he was doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, there you go. But obviously, and that's what makes it galling to fans. He's showboating a little bit, and he's hurting them on the field, although his numbers have slowed down a little bit. Talking to Anthony Wittrotto of the Sporting News. Yeah, go ahead, Anthony.
It's so great, too, that Giants fans, you know, don't like it because, you know what, the rivalry is back. It's bigger than Boston and New York now. You know, this thing, it's intense, it's bitter, it's chippy. And it seems like the Dodgers have been chippy with everybody in the division this season. And I think that part of that comes with they're finally winning and they're playing the way that everybody expected them to, I think. And they are the West Coast Yankees in terms of being able to afford players and afford mistakes. You know, that's what that payroll is doing. It's allowing them to make mistakes or mask things that would normally hurt a lower payroll team.
Yeah, and you know, comparing with the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, it's gone on for a century, but in this case, it's gone to two coasts. So to me, it trumps the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry, which is very provincial, and you've got a lot of people at certain networks who are either Red Sox or Yankees fans, so they make it bigger than maybe it really is. It's big.
If they still played at Ebbets Field and the Polo Grounds, they would be on Sports Center leading it all the time, every time they play.
Yep, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. But it's still good stuff, and the rivalry is a good thing. You know, I just look at Puig as a guy who played, you know, a little bit in high school in American Legion. I didn't play professionally, but I kind of understand the way players think. And, he kind of gets your attention. But he's also a lot of fun, and I think it's part of the theater, and it is adding to the rivalry. We'll see what happens down the road. But part of me says, okay, keep flipping the bat. Something will happen, and there will be more theater.
Yeah, you know what? And 2 years ago, Dodger fans hated when Brian Wilson, you know, made the X sign after he closed out games against them. And you know, and they had a little dust up with that stuff, too.
Which was stupid because there's a specific reason he does that.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, but still, it's still showing someone up. Yeah, I remember when I used to cover the Brewers, all the teams in the National League Central had a huge problem with them untucking their uniforms after wins. As they went through the line to shake hands, and other teams hated that. Well, that was a Mike Cameron thing, and he did it in honor of his dad, who was a blue-collar kind of guy. He said the first thing he did when he would walk through the door after work was untuck his shirt.
Hmm.
well, the Brewers got thrown out plenty for that. So, you know, like these little unwritten things are just, they're so, so silly. There's no need for it. And it's just, you know what, it's a game. Let the guys have fun. I don't understand why people have this sort of ingrained, and this is the only sport that it happens in, it's sort of ingrained where you don't show up the other team or the other players or whatever, but why not? It's fun. It's fun to look at. And you know what? It's going to get replayed a ton, and it's going to get talked about on the radio.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree to a point. I do agree. And, you know, I think that with Puig or any other player, Bryce Harper or whatever, there's a line that everybody has. It's an unwritten rule and all that. And a lot of it is kind of silly. But I also think
but it's
that
only in baseball, right? I mean, this stuff doesn't go on in football or basketball. I mean,
yeah, they just have taunting penalties in the NFL. You know, they just flag you.
Which are also stupid. I mean, yeah. It's a game. Let the guys play. Let them entertain. You know what? You know, the players don't like to hear this, but they're entertainers first and foremost. If you ask them, they're going to say, we're athletes, blah, blah, blah. But you know what? This is no different than people paying to go see the gladiators in the Roman Coliseum. It's no different than buying a ticket to a Broadway show. These guys are entertaining, and the field just happens to be their stage. And if they can do something that makes people laugh or hiss or whatever, then let them do it.
Couple more minutes here with Anthony Wetrato, the sporting news, as we get ready for the Giants and Dodgers game 3 of the 4-game series from L.A. Anthony joins us via the Ring Central guest line. How much money does Kershaw get in the offseason?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You know, you're talking about the best pitcher in baseball probably over the last 3 years outside of that 1 year that Justin Verlander won the MVP award. He's cracking $200 million. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And, you know, pitchers are very risky. You know, teams really don't want to give that kind of money to a guy who uses their arm that much. But if you got to give it to anybody in the next season, in the next offseason, I mean, who better than to give it to him? He's still young. Mm-hmm. He's proven to be durable to this point, and he will break the bank.
Oh, I'm thinking they have an ocean of cash, and maybe they dip in with a couple of big buckets. And it probably still won't make a huge dent for them.
Oh, no. You know, and people say that they're going to pay. He's going to break a record. And, you know, people say that, well, they overpay for a guy like Greinke or whatever. Well, maybe if you are the Cincinnati Reds, it's overpaying. But when you're the Dodgers and money, I mean, it might as well grow on the palm trees in the outfield because it doesn't matter to them. And you know what? They're fine with paying a luxury tax. That's the thing. You know, you can punish them for overspending, but they don't care.
So how do other teams in the National League West compete with that, knowing that they're going to just hit everything with a big, giant mallet?
You compete the way the Oakland A's competed in the AL West, and still are. You compete the way the Tampa Bay Rays compete in the AL East, where they have a ton of big spenders. You have to develop players. You have to scout well. Mm-hmm. You have to do everything else better than the Dodgers do. And it's much easier said than done, obviously, but if these other teams don't catch up in a hurry, they're going to be looking up at the Dodgers for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah. Also, the international market, I think, is a key in that, too.
Very, very much so. But and you know what? The Dodgers are winning that war right now, too.
Right now. And I think that they're moving the needle for other teams, including the Giants, to have more interest in. If you see the reports about Jose Abreu and Masahiro Tanaka and so forth.
Right,
the Giants
right.
are
and,
jumping
and,
in that
pedal. And it's great because, you know what, that's just another piece of the rivalry. It's going to be awesome over the next few years. I'll tell you what, the Giants really have to – Brian Sabian and the ownership group are going to have to sit down and say, okay, you know what? It's okay to go out and spend now. Like, we're going to have to do this to compete because if they don't and they just wait for the system to develop, which there aren't many studs in it right now at this point, it's going to be a while before they're able to stay, you know, neck and neck with the Dodgers because the roster they have right now is kind of old and injury prone.
Yeah, yeah, and it's going to be a couple of years for some of their top prospects to come through. Hey, Anthony, enjoy the chat, and we'll enjoy the showboating or whatever you want to call it, and I guess there will be more violations of unwritten rules to come.
Oh, I'm sure there will be. It'll probably happen in a few hours here, I'm sure.
Yeah, could very well. All right, thanks a lot, Anthony.
Great talking to you.
Anthony Wetrato of the Sporting News joining us.